been my friend for so long. You were right and I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is your sword. Take my life, make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrow treasures, borrow dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, be done. I love you, Jesus, your godly son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is your sword. Take my life, make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. To me.
Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, as you find that, would you stand to your feet? Last chapter in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, as you stand to your feet, as you're able. Turning your Bible or your devices or whatever it may be to the passage. I like bringing a Bible. There's something about holding a physical copy of the Word of God. Don't have all the distractions on your phones. That's encouragement. If you do, turn your phone off, turn it to silent, that'll help with the service as well. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 15. And the Bible says here, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. They are eating crow right now. They are groveling at Joseph's feet. They had done Joseph wrong. They had done him wrong. Sold him into slavery, into a pit, and they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he spoke and had dreams that came from God, and they hated him for it. They hated him. They sold him away. They faked his death to their father and thought, we'll never see him again. Be sure your sin will find you out. They never would have thought that this day would have come. And they said, we be thy servants. They thought, oh my, dad is gone, and he's going to get even with us now. And in verse number 18, he said again, we be thy servants. Verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. I want to look at this phrase this morning. For am I in the place of God? am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. I want to preach you a message today. Are you in the place of God? What a dangerous place to be that would be, isn't it? To be in the place of God, to speak for God, to act for God on His behalf. Let's not take the place of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the Word of God today, Lord. Would you please challenge and speak to our hearts, Lord? Please again captivate our hearts and our attention, Lord. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and move where is needed. Lord, I don't know the needs of everyone represented in this room, but you do. I don't know all the past of what has happened, Lord, but you do. Pray that you would work and speak and help, Lord. If there's anyone today not knowing for sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, Lord, today, if this was their last day, Lord, may they trust in you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. From this time in this passage, 22 years had passed. 22 years had passed from when Joseph's brothers had thrown him in that pit. And as he was there and they didn't even care, they stood around talking about, let's just kill him. Let's end his life. They were sick of hearing about Joseph and how God was going to work in Joseph's life. And remember, Joseph had the dreams that the sun, moon, and stars were going to bow down and worship him, and that represented his family, and they hated him for it. And I don't know anyone that would want their younger brother to come to them and say, someday you're going to bow down and worship me. Your life may end at that moment as well. They may think it. They may not say it. They may think it, though. And then he said the sheaves were going to bow down and worship him, and they had had enough of that. And they said, we want Joseph gone. Threw him in the pit, talked about killing him, and Reuben came by and said, we can't kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery and fake his death, as if that was a whole lot better. And they sold him into slavery as the traders came by, and they took the blood of an animal and brought him back to Jacob and said, your son is dead. And they let their father grieve, as if their brother, that his son, had died. 22 years had passed. Think about Joseph's life. Never went back home. Never saw his family until this point. And he was there and he was a servant. And Joseph was wronged. Clearly, he had been wronged by his brothers. And he had been lied about by Potiphar's wife. And he went to prison there. Went to prison. And while he was there, and he rose, Joseph did, he rose to leadership. Every place that he was. You know why? Because they knew that something was special about Joseph. What was special about Joseph is that God was with him. Everywhere he went, no matter his circumstances, God was with him. He went to prison and he rose in leadership to the point where the prison keeper didn't know what Joseph did was in his hands. May it not have been a wise thing to do to put the prisoner in charge of the prison. And while he was there, he interpreted the dreams for the butler and baker, and one would be killed and one would live, and they was forgotten about. He had been sold into slavery, wronged by his brothers, forgotten about while he was in prison. He kept doing right. He kept his integrity. He wouldn't do wrong no matter where he was or who was around him. And then as he was finally brought up out of prison, and he was there because there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And God had given him wisdom to interpret the dream. And for the 7 years of plenty, he stored up for those years of plenty, so that on the years of famine, he had food. They had provision for people around him. And so those 7 years of famine are what brought Joseph's brothers there. When everyone else was starving, the people in Egypt, they had the food. And they bought possessions and lands and had money. And eventually his brothers came. Can you imagine the moment after 22 years? The people that had wronged you, the reason why you were where you were was because of his brothers' deeds. And they come to see him, and I can imagine the shock on his face. I cannot believe that this has happened. And they come there, and they're coming to buy some food, and Joseph plays some games with them for a little bit, and hiding the cup and the different things in their bags, and brought them back, and went through all of that till we get to this passage here. Their dad had been brought to Egypt, and he had now died. And at this time, the brothers think, oh no, oh no, dad is gone. And Joseph is going to get even with us. And they sent a servant. They wouldn't even go themselves to get right with Joseph. That's how low down they were. They couldn't even go face to face to apologize. And then the servant said, your dad has asked you to forgive your brothers. And Joseph wept. He wept. His heart was so tender before God. And as you see in verse number 19, and Joseph said to his brothers, he said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Joseph had all the authority and all the power to do to his brothers whatever he wanted to, didn't he? He had all the power in his hands. He had all the leverage. He could have let them starve. He could have brought them as servants. He could have said, "After 22 years, you can come back, and then I'll forgive you and take care of you." But he said, "Am I in the place of God?" Think about that in our lives where someone has done you wrong. Something has happened in your life. God has allowed something to come your way, and we think that somehow we know better than God. We think, well, you know what? I can take the place of God, and I'm going to get even. I'm going to take this upon myself. As a boy, growing up, we had my dad had a recliner chair, as most men do. One day, I'll reach that level in my home. I know that they may not be the most attractive things in the world, but maybe the most comfortable things in the world to have a nice recliner chair. And my dad had a recliner chair in the living room. And you knew this. That was dad's spot. That was dad's spot. And you know, as a kid, you think it's fun, and you go and jump in dad's seat and sit there. And what does dad do? He sits on you. It doesn't matter how big he is or how small you are. You asked for it, right? It's a fatherly duty, all right? Now that I'm in the place of a father, I realize there are certain things I owe my children, embarrassing them or squishing them or whatever it is. And you know if you got in dad's place, he was going to sit on you, he was going to squish you, tickle you, whatever, or just pull you by your foot and drag you right out and say, "That's my spot. Don't get in there again." How many times do we try to get in the place of God? That's God's place, and we have no business being in God's place because I'm not God. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. You may not like or have asked for what has happened to you in your life, but we better be careful that we don't get in the place of God. That's God's place, and that's God's seat. I think about that in times in our lives where we think, "Well, God, didn't you see what happened?" Think about what you're asking God. Is there anything God does not know? Is there anything that God has not seen? Is there anything that God cannot take care of? So when we come to God and say, "God, why would you? Why did this happen? God, why won't you get even with them?" I am not in the place of God. What a dangerous place to be. I think of Satan in heaven, the first sin ever recorded, ever happened was Satan in heaven. And what did Satan do? He said, "I will be like the Most High." You know what he said? "God, you get over. I want to take your place. That's my seat. I think I can do a better job than you can, God." What a dangerous place for us to get in the place of God in our lives and say, "God, I can handle this better than you. God, I can get even with this person. God, I've got this one taken care of. You know, God, turn your back for a little bit, and then I'll let you know when I'm done with them," right? Getting in the place of God. Many people have tried to take the place of God over the years. Foolishly, we've all been there before. "God, I've been serving you. Why would you?" And we start questioning God. You start questioning God like he's on trial. And God's got to answer to us for why God has allowed something to happen into our lives. We better be careful when we question the Lord. Not asking God, "What do you want me to learn from this?" But saying, "God," and shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, "God, why would you let this happen?" I can imagine for years, Joseph must have thought, "Lord, why? What's the purpose? God, you showed me a dream when I was a young man, 17 years old, and you showed me a dream that they would bow down and worship. God, I don't see it, but I trust you." It didn't look that way when he was a servant in Potiphar's house, but he trusted God. It didn't look that way when he was in prison, but he trusted God. It didn't look that way when he was in Egypt, but he trusted God. We better be careful when we take the place of God, when we start questioning God. And we start saying, "God, you better explain all of this to me right now." God said, "I don't have to explain anything to you, because God knows better than you and I, doesn't he?" Joseph said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" What an incredible spirit that he had toward his brothers to say, I'm not taking the place of God. If God wants to get that right, or even he will, but I'm not doing that. I'm not taking that place. You've heard that said before, that two wrongs don't make a right. You think, well, when they did it to me, I can get even now. No, you can't. Or you're in the same place as them. When you take the place of God, that's questioning God. Sometimes we get to the place where we are demanding from God, saying, God, you better do this. You better take care of this need. I've served you for this long, God. You better come through. We better not demand anything from the Lord. Why? Because God has his own timing and God has his own ways, and I have no reason to demand anything from God. Why? Because he's God and I'm not. That's very simple. But if we realize that that is God's place, that is God's seat, I'm not taking the place of God in my life to question God, to demand from God, or taking the place of God when we are speaking for God, trying to speak for God on God's behalf, not by quoting God's word, but trying to tell other people, I know why this happened in your life. You ever had people do that to you? I know why God let that happen. And we start speaking in the place of God. What a dangerous place to be. What a foolish place to be. And what a prideful place to be. To think that in some way that we can take the place of God. You may say, but you don't know what happened in my life. And I could turn that right around as well. Say, you don't know what happened in my life either. And we all have the reasons why we might say, you know what, God, I'm going to take the place for a moment in this situation for this person. But that would be a foolish and a prideful place to be. Are you in the place of God today? Thinking, this is my life. I can do with my life what I want to do. We looked at it in Sunday school today that we are stewards of the life that God has given to us. This isn't my life. This is God's life. Amen? When we understand it's not mine, it's God's, we get really possessive. You get a couple little kids together and give them one toy and see what happens. They share and they're so kind to each other. They take turns. They're so polite and say, when you're finished, I'll enjoy it when you're done. Would you share with me? What do? They fight over that thing like cats and dogs, and they have a time with that because they think it's mine. You know, and then one comes running to you, they hit me, and what do, parents? What did you do to them, right? What did you do to them first? It's not my life, it's God's life. Am I in the place of God when it comes to my life? No. It's not my life, it's God's life. When we say, well, I can do what I want to do, I know better than God, what a dangerous and what a foolish and a prideful place to be. I want to give you 3 points today, very simply as this. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the will of God? Are you in the place of God in your life in some way where you are saying that you know God's will or your will for your life better than God does? Realize this again, that God created you. Think about that. You are made in the image of the Almighty God of heaven. And when he created you, he has a plan for your life, a perfect plan, just for each and every one of you. Again, it's not my life, it's God's life. But things ever turn out different than what you wanted? Young people, it's pretty often that someone will ask you, well, what do you want to do with your life someday? What do you think you're going to do with your life someday? And you have all these plans. You know what the best answer for that is? Whatever God wants me to do with my life. But you know what, adults, it's not any different from the kids to the adults either. And say, what are you going to do? Say, whatever God wants me to do in my life. Because it's God's will, not my will. It's God's life, not my life. It is what does God want me to do, not what do I want to do. In verse number 19, he says, fear not, for am I in the place of God. In verse number 20, he says this, but as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But look at the next phrase, but God meant it unto good. You ever been in the middle of it and you thought, I don't see how it can turn out for good, but I'm just going to trust God. I don't see how God's going to turn this around. I can't see how this possibly been allowed through the hand of God, but I'm going to trust him anyway. You know, the verse Romans 8:28, you could quote it with me, and we know that, what's the next two words? All things work together for what? For good. All things, everything and the will of God works together for good. To them, look at this, the promise is here, to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose, those that are following God. Joseph was following God, and everything that happened to Joseph came through the hands of the Almighty God, and he realized all the way God meant it for good. You may go back in your life and think, God, how could that be for good? You know what? Many times in the moment, I don't see how it could be for good. In the moment, I think, God, why? How? What's the purpose? What are you trying to teach me? And then afterwards, you realize, oh, that's why you allow that to happen. Some things we may not always find out the answers to here on earth, but know this, that God has a plan. God has a plan, and realize that God has a plan that's bigger and better than our plans. That God's plans are higher, His ways are higher than our ways. God's plan is better than our plans. You say, but I don't see it. But guess what? God does. I don't know how it turns out, but God does. God has a plan. God meant it for good. God has a perfect plan for each and every person's life, but too many times we get out of the will of God. Too many times we walk out of the will of God and say, God, if this is where you want me and this is what it is, I'm going somewhere else. And then you're on your own because you think that you can take the place of God. God, if this is your will, I'm out. I'm done. Have you ever argued with God about His plan? God has told you exactly what He wants you to do with your life, and you think, God, I can't do that. God, I'm not doing that. There's no way I could do that. And then later on you go, okay, God, I'll listen. But God, I'm going to need your help because I cannot do it without you. Don't take the place of God. God has a plan for your life. You ever fought with God and questioned God? I've been there before, but don't stay there. Don't try taking the place of God in your life because God has a plan that's better than your plan and better than my plan. See, Joseph, if he would not be in this place in his life, second in command in all of Egypt, he would not be there if he didn't follow God's plan for 22 long years away from his home and away from his family, but he trusted God all along the way. You say, God, I can take it for a day. What about for a year? What about for a decade? What about for a lifetime? You say, God, if you don't turn this around, I'm not serving you anymore. If it's God's plan, then God knows better than you and I do. Just stay in God's plan. Stay in God's plan. Don't get out. The devil has a plan, but he wants to ruin your life. You may have plans for your life, young people, but guess what? God has a better plan than you do for your life. You better be careful before you start telling God what you're going to do, instead of asking God what He wants for you to do. Don't take the place of God in your life. God meant it unto what, church? Good. How could that be for good? In God's timing. That's the key. In God's timing and in God's way, God meant it for good. Are you in the place of God when it comes to the will of God? Number two, are you in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? Are you in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? You say, God, I can forgive anyone but that person. I can forgive anyone but that situation. I cannot forgive that person. Here's what we do many times. God, I forgive them, but I never want to see their face again. Right? I forgive them, but I'm never talking to them. I'm never going to be around them. Is that how God treats us? Has anyone wronged anyone more than we have wronged God? No. Every sin that we do is against God. And so there's nothing that someone can do to you that is worse than someone can do has already done to God. And realize this, that God forgives. Aren't you thankful for that? That God loves and God forgives. And we sing about it this morning, how God forgets our sins. They're cast into the depths of the sea. Aren't you thankful for that? God doesn't forgive you, and then the next day you come to Him and say, you know what? You told me yesterday that you weren't going to do that again. I'm not forgiving you now. You know what? I'm never talking to you again. I don't want to see you ever again. We say, I forgive, but then we have all these rules to it, right? Are you in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? Instead of getting even with them, He forgave them. Instead of getting even with them and making it harder for them, He said in verse number 21, he says, now therefore fear you not. He says this, not only do I forgive you, but he says, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Not only did he forgive them, but he loved them and he cared for them. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to do with our enemies? Hurt them. Post nasty things about them. Give them the stink eye every time they walk by. No. You know what we're supposed to do with our enemies? The Bible's supposed to pray for them. Right? Pray for them. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to do good to them. You see, I can do that for people I like, but not the people I don't like. That's how we are supposed to treat an enemy. You know why? Because that shows forgiveness. That shows true forgiveness. Too many people today have forgiven their way, but not God's way. Forgiven to an extent, but I'm not forgiving at all. Or I forgive, but don't ever get around me again. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Bible says, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us of much, hasn't he? If we were to go and list all of our sins, man, that would take some time, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want to put it down on paper, would you? And you write it down, all the wrong that you've done to the Lord. And then you come to that list and realize that God has forgiven you of all. That day you stand before God, God's not going to say, well, you wronged me too much, you're going to hell now. God forgives. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Are you in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? You say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going there. And you're going to allow bitterness to seep into your life and to destroy and to ruin because you take the place of God. Are you in the place of God when it comes to God's will? Are you in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? Thirdly, are you in the place of God when it comes to salvation? When it comes to salvation, it's amazing how many people today are saying, God, I don't need you to get to heaven. I've got my own way. I've got my own religion. Because my religion says if you do this, this, and that, you can work your way to heaven. The problem is that's your way, not God's way. Right? They say, well, I've got a different Bible. And my Bible says there's another way to heaven, another God. And that's not the right way to heaven either. Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Too many people are trying to get saved their own way. The only problem is trying to get saved your own way is not going to get the way to heaven. Are you in the place of God when it comes to your salvation? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through what, church? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not done by me. There is no good works to get yourself to heaven. You can't get baptized enough. You can get baptized 1,000 times over, and that will never get you into heaven. You could read your Bible over 1,000 times, but without trusting Christ as your Savior, you'll never have a home in heaven. You could join every church in this world and never get to heaven. You could have all the religious heritage that your parents or your grandparents were pastors and teachers, and they were religious people. There are so many people that are trusting in a false salvation. They're trusting in some kind of religion to get them to heaven. They're trusting in some kind of good works to get them to heaven by doing some good thing, and there is nothing good that we can do to get to heaven. Nothing good that we can do to get to heaven. The Bible says our righteousness even is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Too many people taking the place of God when it comes to salvation. They say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, but I've got my own way. I don't need you, God. You're saying you're more powerful than God. You say, God, I know what the Bible says, but I don't need that way of salvation. I've got my own. I've just got to add a few things to it. So you're saying you know better than God then. You know better than God's word. How dare we take the place of God when it comes to this area of salvation? The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's a young man in the Bible that came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, how can I have eternal life? How can I enter into heaven? And Jesus said to him, you've got to keep all the commandments from your youth. And you say, I didn't think you could be a good person to go to heaven. No, you can't. You know why? Because the only way you can do good works to get to heaven is you have to be perfect. Anyone in here perfect? Don't raise your hand. God might strike you dead. And none of us can raise our hand. Because I know me, and you know you, and we're not perfect. And he said, you've got to keep your commandments from your youth. You can't have done anything wrong. And he said, oh, I've kept them all. How prideful that is. I've kept them all. I've not done anything wrong. And he's in front of the Son of God thinking, I'm a good person. And what did Jesus tell him? Well, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And what did he do? He went away sorrowful, realizing that he was a sinner, that he was not saved, and he left Jesus sorrowful. According to that passage, he did not get saved. Too many people come to God with their good works and say, God, I'm in church. I deserve to go to heaven, right? God, I'm carrying a Bible. I deserve to go to heaven. God, I've been teaching a class for many years. I've been baptized in all the churches, all the religions. I didn't know this until a number of years ago. My mom gave me a few things from my childhood, and I didn't realize I was baptized Catholic. So I'm covered, Baptist and Catholic. In any case, no. I'm not even going to go any further. Sorry, Lord. And I got a certificate. Oh, great. I was sprinkled as a baby. I didn't realize that. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. Too many times, you say, well, God, I asked for salvation, but we asked for it again and again and again and again. Every time I do wrong, I've got to get saved again. And every time I go to a conference, I've got to get saved again. And every time the Lord convicts my heart, I've got saved again. That is not salvation. That's trusting in the good works of your prayer, thinking if I pray a really, really, really good prayer, God's going to save me. That's not salvation. You'll never impress God with your good works. You know what you'll impress God with? Your faith in Jesus alone. Trusting in Him alone. Are you in the place of God when it comes to your salvation? You're trying to add all the good things to it. Don't be in the place of God. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? Is there a place that you've taken God's place and say, God, I know better than God. I could do this better than God can do it. What a foolish, what a prideful place to be. God has all power. God has all strength. God has all knowledge. God has it all figured out. But guess what? I don't. You one of those people, you want it all figured out. You want to know all the plans, and God's got to answer to you. He doesn't have to do that. I'm not in the place of God. You know what I need to do? Trust God. You know what I need to do? Follow God. And say, God's going to work it out in His timing, in His way. Listen to God. Follow God's word. Trust God. And God will work it out together for good. Let's not be in the place of God today. Head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Maybe God spoke to your heart in an area today where maybe you've taken control and where you need to let God take control.